We are in the sacred month. It's the month of Dhul Qa'dah. And as we heard, it's the fifth. So I want to share one incident that took place in our seerah, in our history, on this, at this time, almost this date. It was a famous incident where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Dhul Qa'dah, it was the second of Dhul Qa'dah, it was the sixth year after Hijrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a dream in Medina Munawwara. Now this is sixth year after Hijrah. We all know that in Makkah Mukarramah, those are the years of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak life prior to the Hijrah. So that's after Nubuwah. And then after Hijrah, these are the years where our calendar is based on. Those are the years after Hijrah. So this is sixth year after Hijrah. Now remember, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, especially the Sahaba from Makkah Mukarramah, and all the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum, are yearning for the Kaaba. They haven't seen the Kaaba in years, and they have been barred from the Kaaba. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a dream that himself and his Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum are performing Umrah. He mentions this dream to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They know the dreams of Anbiya Wahi, they are all elated. And every one of them get ready, and it was the month of Dhul Qa'dah, and they depart to perform the Umrah. And everyone was elated by this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam travels with Sahaba radiallahu anhum in this month, and they're going to perform the Umrah. Now what happens is, as they go along, they get barred. Now the report is that of Hazrat Miswar bin Makhramah radiallahu anhu. He says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Hudaybiyah. En route, he was stopped. Now, there's few reports where he was stopped and so forth. According to the Gregorian calendar, this was February, the year 628. Anyway, as they carry on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was halted because there was an army facing him. And that happened to be the army of Khalid bin Walid when they passed this area, Ghamim. There, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura with Sahaba, and then they went, they took another route. Rat al-Yameen, they took another route to show Khalid that radiallahu anhu, that we are not here for this. We're not here to fight. We've come in peace. They didn't even carry weapons for any battle. They just carried for self-defense. And they were not here to fight. And they carried on. As they carried on, at one stage, the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam halts. It sits down. So everyone said, what happened to Qaswa? Qaswa was the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's camel. Khala'atil Qaswa. Qaswa has become adamant, or Qaswa has become stubborn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, Qaswa hasn't become stubborn. That's not her nature. وَمَا ذَاكَ لَهَا بِخُلُقٍ. But, حَبَسَهَا حَابِسُ الْفِيلِ. حَابِسُ الْفِيلِ, Allah who halted the elephants. Allah who stopped the elephants. The same Allah has stopped Qaswa. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified something to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum there and then, because Allah wanted him to say this to them. He reminded them that, see, we are not here to fight. Any opportunity of peace, a peace treatment, a peace treaty, an opportunity of agreement, I will accept it. And he reminded everyone of this, so everyone's intentions were clear. As soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, and he said that whatever they prepared to offer of peace, loyalty, understanding, we will accept it. We will abide. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, لَا يَسْأَلُونِي خُطَّةً يُعَظِّمُونَ فِيهَا حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ, where Allah's sanctuary would be respected. I would give in and we would accept. Just then, Qaswa jumped up. And now it went towards Makkah Mukarramah. Then the Muslims were barred before they entered Makkah. So they camped at a place called Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah was a place that had a little bit of water. They were in need of water. Ala thamadin qaleelil ma. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and obviously the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum, for wudu, for ibadah, they need water. There was no water. So the incidents that happened here, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranged water for them, that was really amazing. There's two reports. One report says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabi, go down into the well and place this arrow into the well. And the other report says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand. It seems, putting both reports together, the water came out gushing from the arrow of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Mubarak hands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam simultaneously. And that entire well got filled. And that became sufficient for them as they were camped at Hudaybiyah. That was water for them and so forth. Now the Muslims are barred from entry. There was another army that came to attack them, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum defended and defeated that army, but then released them. When Sahaba radiallahu anhum released them, this was to show them also that we're not here to fight. And Allah Ta'ala mentions this in Surah Al-Fath, Surah Al-Fath, chapter 48 of the Quran al-Kareem. In this, as the Muslims were camped there, all this is in Dhul-Qa'dah, this month that we are now currently in. The mushrikeen are thinking what to do. What are the Muslims here for? And so forth. Now they have their gathering, they have their meeting in their parliament called Darun Nadwa. What should we do? How do we chase the Muslims away? How do we stop them from entering Makkah? For them, it was a blemish and a disgrace. They worried much what would their reputation be, that the Muslims could just come into Makkah and they did nothing about it. And this was something that was hammering their ego and they couldn't bear that. And they knew deep down, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not there to fight. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clarified this. He even sent a message. If you all want to fight, we will defend. But you all are tired. Any means of peace that can happen between us, we're ready to accept it. And these sentiments and messages were sent forth. Anyway, they sent a few people to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to try and get the Muslims to get away, not wanting the Muslims to perform the Umrah. Anyway, among the people that they sent was Budayl bin Warqa. Budayl comes. Budayl is from the Khuza'a tribe. And the Khuza'a were known to be close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's family. Because in history, Khuza'a were very loyal to Abdul Muttalib. So they always had a soft spot towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Muslims, obviously, especially because of Islam and Iman, and even the non-Muslims from the Khuza'a tribe. He came there. And when he came and he saw how beautiful Islam is, and he came into the environment of the Muslims, what would happen when people would come and meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meet Sahaba radiallahu anhu? And this happened in every expedition. Where Sahaba were camped, when non-Muslims would come there, they would be inspired towards Islam. When they came into an environment of deen and iman. When people came to Medina Munawwara also, it had such an impact, such an effect on them. So Allah give us tawfiq to learn from here as well. When people come into our environment, we should affect them positively. Bring them closer to Allah's deen. Each time a few inches, inshallah, and they will also get, they will experience the beauty of deen, the love in deen, and they would come to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them, and as these visitors would come to dialogue with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when salah time would come, they would experience the salah, because there was a camp, there was a tent, specially pitched for salah, and so forth. Then he returned and he mentioned to them that this is what he felt and so forth. And he noticed how respectful they were to the animals and how, how united the Muslims were. All of this he noticed. And he told them what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. That if they want to fight, we're not going to stop them. But if they want peace, we want peace. They'll also have rest and there'll be peace between us. But if they want to fight and stop the deen of Allah, I will carry on until my head is severed. Until Allah spreads His deen. حَتَّى تَنْفَرِدَ سَالِفَتِي وَلَا يُنَفَّذَنَّ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ Anyway, Budayl said, I will convey these sentiments and this message. Anyway, then they decided to send another man by the name of Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, he wasn't a Muslim at the time. And subhanAllah, his visit was quite amazing as well. When he came there, he sought the permission of the Quraysh to come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he came to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was also amazed at the akhlaq of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He was amazed at the environment. He was amazed at their love. Even one relative of his, now Urwa bin Mas'ud is from Ta'if, and he's one of the elite of Ta'if. When he comes there, he sees the man standing right next to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was his own nephew, Mughira bin Shu'bah. He didn't know Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu had embraced Islam. And Mughira bin Shu'bah, prior to his Islam, he was severe in gangsterism and brutal in murder and so forth. This was before Islam. And he was shocked at how Islam changed him. Anyway, he was very upset with his nephew because his nephew had killed certain people and he had to then pay the blood money. But he was quite amazed how Islam changed him. And then when Urwa bin Mas'ud was playing with the beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mughira bin Shu'bah pushed his hand away, not wanting him to interfere with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, أَخِّرْ يَدَكَ عَنْ لِحْيَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Back off, do not touch the beard of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Urwa was shocked that this would be the reaction of his own nephew and so forth. And then he also reprimanded his nephew. Anyway, the incident of how Mughira radiallahu anhu embraced Islam is also very interesting. He finally got hidayat when he was affected by the priest in Egypt. Because he was meeting Muqawqis. This is just to explain the situation, how he finally embraced Islam. Because it took him years also. When he was in Egypt one day, he was talking to Muqawqis. And he mentioned to Muqawqis, that because Muqawqis would ask him about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they did business together. And in that, he mentioned how many times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to his door. But Mughira said, I'll never accept it. Showing somewhat an attitude. This was before his Islam. So Muqawqis told him, a man is coming right to your door to bring goodness, and you refuse him? How foolish. Just these words had such an impact on Mughira radiallahu anhu. He then, that inspired him to meet the Christian priests in Egypt. And learning the description of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their books that inspired him, and he came straight to Medina Munawwara. That's another incident, but alhamdulillah, he was Muslim by this time. Anyway, Urwa was affected. He returned, but he also noticed the love Sahaba had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The famous incidents where Sahaba would even fight with each other out of love for the water, the remaining water of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he drank water or made wudu. Urwa noticed this. He mentioned in the parliament of Quraysh, you know, I've been as an emissary to kings of the world. I even went to Qaisar and Kisra and Najashi. He says, by Allah, إِن رَأَيْتُ مَلِكًا قَطُّ يُعَظِّمُهُ أَصْحَابُهُ مَا يُعَظِّمُ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I have never seen a ruler or a king or a leader loved as much as the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he explained this entire scene to them, their love for him and their respect for him and their obedience and their unity, such an impact that had. Anyway, in this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his messenger. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura with Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who should we send? They decided to send Hazrat Uthman. And this is also a lot of lessons for us. Hazrat Uthman was a man respected by the Meccans. He was a very prominent man, well-to-do, wealthy, of high position, of high status, and he came from the Banu Umayyah. And the Banu Umayyah, why, were highly respected. When he came into Makkah, they respected him. So we learn, when Allah gives us respect in life, use that respect for Allah's deen. Use that status to bring benefit to the Ummah and the Muslims. As Hazrat Uthman and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would do. As he entered, he was welcomed. He was escorted. He was taken right by the Kaaba and they offered him that you perform tawaf and benefit while they are discussing, while they're taking their time. He said, never. And interestingly, there were a few new Muslims discussing in the camp of the Hudaybiyah by the Muslims. They were saying, oh, Uthman is too fortunate. He got the Kaaba to himself. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what they were saying. So Allah's Nabi told them, you know, Uthman would never do that without me. Without even telling Uthman or giving him any instruction, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the way of Hazrat Uthman, that he would never ever do that. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at love and akhlaq. He said, I must perform tawaf before my beloved. You bar my beloved outside Makkah from performing tawaf. I'll never do that. What Hazrat Uthman did, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him other errands. After delivering Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message that we've come here for peace, after delivering that message, he went to do other works Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him to do. And the ahadith are clear. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, visit the suppressed Muslims. There were Muslims locked up in dungeons, imprisoned, suffering a lot of atrocities in Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Uthman, go to them and give them courage. Give them encouragement that soon Allah's help is to come. Do not worry. Hazrat Uthman did all of that. Then Allah's Nabi also gave him guidance that go to meet the kuffar of Quraysh and give them da'wat. This is so interesting because this is mentioned explicitly in this hadith. Oh Uthman, when you meet the Muslims who are suppressed, give them courage. And you're meeting all the non-Muslims, give them da'wat. What an amazing instruction. This is a lesson for you and I. Give courage and encouragement to Muslims and give da'wah to the non-Muslims. Invite them to Islam. Invite them to Allah, seizing every opportunity. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anyway, This took some time by the time the Kuffar had given their response. And there was a rumor that had spread that Hazrat Uthman had been assassinated. And that brought about something that happened outside Makkah called Bay'atul Ridwan, where all the Sahaba gathered under this tree and they took Bay'ah at the hands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they'll defend Allah's deen and they will not accept this injustice and so forth. And then Allah's Nabi took his own Mubarak right hand and said, this hand is on behalf of Uthman. Uthman is not here now, but I am giving my own Bay'ah on behalf of Uthman. Subhanallah. Imagine Allah's Nabi is taking Bay'ah upon his own hands on behalf of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. Subhanallah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah. In this, the Kuffar of Quraysh finally sent a man by the name of Suhail bin Amr. Remember his name. Because if we can't finish the discussion, Allah give us tawfiq, we'll continue with this discussion next week. Let's see how far we can go. Suhail comes out now. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw Suhail approach, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this means they want goodness. They want to give in. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took good omens. He took good signs. A Muslim doesn't take negativity from situations, but good signs, good feelings, and encouragement. We take opportunities and situations that encourage us, and we be opportunistic, and we seize the opportunity, and we be positive. And this is what we learn from here. And as Suhail came, the discussion carried on. And now they agreed to write down a document of peace, a peace treaty and a truce. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted this. And in this now, he wanted what Allah ta'ala wants. And this is what Allah ta'ala wanted him. And this has khair in it. In this, Hazrat Ali was to write down what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to dictate. And in this document, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, right, this is an agreement between هَذَا مَا صَالَحَ عَلَيْهِ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ سُهَيْلَ بْنَ عَمَرٍ. So Suhail interjected and stopped the Nabi of Allah and said that, how can you write Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We don't accept you as Rasulullah, just write Muhammad. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine, if that will bring peace, O Ali, rub it out, wipe it out. Hazrat Ali was emotional, he says, never. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself rubbed out just from the document Muhammad Rasulullah and said, this is an agreement between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Suhail ibn Amr. And the whole agreement went like this, that there'll be a ceasefire for 10 years. No more war. There'll be interaction and so forth. That means, and then also, whoever joins Medina, the Muslims, in this party, whoever joins the party of the Muslims will be part and parcel of them. And immediately, Khuza'a joined Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As we mentioned earlier, Khuza'a were close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whoever joins Quraysh will be part and parcel of them. Banu Bakr joined Quraysh. Then the agreement went like this, that whoever comes from Makkah to Medina, he wants to leave Makkah and go to Medina, the Muslims have no permission to accommodate him in Medina, even if he wants Islam. This here, the Quraysh tried to basically harm the Muslims or the esteem of the Muslims, to insult them by doing this. That if your Muslim brothers want to come to Medina, you can't accommodate him. But if someone in Medina wants to come to Makkah, we are at liberty, we have the privilege. They wanted this privilege. We are at liberty to welcome him and we can accept him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreed. This hurt the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged them that Allah will open a way. And someone from us who wants to come to us, Allah will open his way. Someone who's with us, but he's not loyal to Islam, he's not loyal to deen, and he's a hypocrite. Rather, فَأَبْعُدَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah take him away. Why should he be amongst us to actually stab us in the back? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw khair even in this situation, even though outwardly it seemed negative. Among the agreements was also this that was very heavy on the hearts of the Muslims, that you cannot enter Makkah this year. But next year, same time, that means Zulqa'dah, you can come and you can perform your Umrah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreed. Allahu Akbar, these were part of the clause. This hurt Sahaba radiallahu anhum very badly. In this, before they were to sign the document, one man by the name of Abu Jandal, he manages to come out of the dungeon and he's coming tied with chains and shackles and boulders, meaning he came with a lot of difficulty. He had suffered a severe hammering. And he makes it there by the Muslims. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees him and says to Suhail, you did say, Suhail, that none of the people of our Muslims in Makkah can be accommodated in Medina. But we haven't signed yet. Just give me this one man. After that, I'll sign this document. We won't accommodate the others in Medina. Suhail said, never. Never. Then we cancel the deal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted a peace treaty. He insisted, please, Suhail. And it's so amazing in this hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so emphatic. So much of emphasis to save the Sahabi from the injustice he was going through. Please, Suhail, do it. We haven't signed yet. We haven't. Just accept this one. And then we sign. At the end, Allah's Nabi said, even for me, just do it. He said, never. Allahu Akbar. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want the agreement to be cancelled. So the truce continued and the peace treaty and the document was signed and everything started. But what's shocking, the shocking reality is the man who Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interceded for, bidded for, pleaded for, was none other than the son of Suhail himself. This is the beauty of deen. When a man comes to Islam, you love him more than his own non-Muslim father will love him. Imagine. This is what we learn from this incident. Allah. How much Sahaba cried when they saw Hazrat Abu Jandal in that state. He cried also and he said, am I going to be left? Allah's Nabi gave him reassurance, Allah will open your way soon. See what Hazrat Umar did also. Hazrat Umar was so hurt. He was shocked. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He was hoping Abu Jandal will just take his father's sword or someone's sword and end off his father. But Abu Jandal didn't do that. But the Muslims couldn't do that. Even though Suhail was being so unaccommodating and so forth. But Allah Ta'ala does, and every khair comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that slaughter your animal and we return. But Sahaba were shocked. They were wondering, does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mean what he's saying? Because they are in a situation. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees that they're not moving because they were in utter shock. So Allah's beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went into his tent and he made mashura with our mother, Hazrat Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. That I'm saying this, no one's listening, what you feel? Subhanallah, look at the beauty of mashura, and this teaches us as an ummah. And look at wisdom, the wisdom of Ummul Mu'mineen. She said, oh Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's just that they're in shock. They don't know if you are giving them a leeway and you're going to remain in ihram. They're waiting to see what you do. Then they're going to do it. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out. He removed his Mubarak hair. His Baal Mubarak was shaved by Hazrat Kharash radiallahu anhu. And he then sacrificed his animal and he departed. And all the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum did the same. Now there was a discussion amongst the Sahaba that we're going away. Didn't Allah promise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we're going to perform the Umrah? Hazrat Abu Bakr saw this discussion taking place among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He said to them, "Siya, who is this?" They said, "This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He said, "This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah promised him he will perform Umrah. You will perform Umrah, but Allah didn't say when. Did Allah say when?" Hazrat Abu Bakr understood. Subhanallah. So Subhanallah, with such wisdom. And with such, subhanAllah, seniority, he explained to the Sahaba where they understood that this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He'll do exactly what Allah says. Allah promised him Umrah. Allah didn't say when. Here Allah is making our tarbiyat. And as they departing, chapter 48 was revealed. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Liyaghfira laka Allah. Read this chapter of the Quran Kareem, subhanallah. And learn the meanings of this chapter, subhanallah. Sahaba asking, is this a victory? Is this a conquest? We're walking away. We couldn't even perform Umrah. We couldn't even look at Kaaba Sharif. Hazrat Abu Bakr said, there's never been a conquest as great and as successful as Sulhul Hudaybiyah. Our time has elapsed. Remember the name of the individual Suhail bin Amr. And remember where we have discussed in this incident, inshallah. And in the coming week, if Allah gives us the opportunity, we will continue with this discussion, inshallah, because there's so many lessons. But please remember this part of the discussion so we understand it fully when we continue and draw the lessons from this entire event in our seerah. And if we get a chance in the week, read the translation of chapter 48, Surah Al-Fath, and then we'll understand the incident when it comes and it completes in the next week with Allah's permission and Allah's help and Allah's tawfiq. Wa sallallahu وعلى النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.